Welcome to the Conducting Artistry podcast, where we talk about ideas, techniques, and processes to elevate your conducting and empower your ensemble. I'm your host, Ingrid Martin, and in this series, we're talking all about repertoire selection and programming. In today's episode, we're discussing 8 common problems caused by repertoire choice and how to avoid them, in particular looking at the 80-20 rule and how we can use that to find repertoire that is exactly at the right level of difficulty for your ensemble. If this is your first time listening, welcome to the podcast. I'd encourage you to go back and have a listen to episode 1 of this series, which is about setting your musical goals for your ensemble and planning out your performance calendar. Bear in mind that everything we're talking about on today's show is in the show notes, which you can download at conductingartistry.com/podcast, as well as some free PDF downloads and resources. Let's get into today's show. 8 common ensemble problems caused by repertoire choice and how to avoid them. Number 1, low student engagement. The ensemble members are bored and unsatisfied. Now, there are 4 different reasons that we could have low student engagement where students are bored. It could be that the repertoire is too easy, so our players aren't challenged and they just switch off. Secondly, it could actually be the other way around, that the repertoire is too difficult. They can't find a way in to the music and there's no opportunity for them to experience success. And this is much more common than the repertoire being too easy. Related to this, it could be that the progress in the rehearsal is too slow. So the students aren't being engaged. It could be to do with their own progress, or it could be to do with progress of other students in the group. And because of this, the rehearsals become boring. And finally, one other reason that students can become disengaged is because the repertoire is just of poor quality. There's no substance to it, and it's not musically very satisfying. We've all heard those pieces and played pieces and conducted pieces where there's just not really much to it. It's formulaic, and it's kind of like musical chewing gum, if you like. There's no musical nutritional value. The second common problem caused by repertoire choice is low teacher engagement. So we ourselves as conductors are bored and unsatisfied. Now, there are a couple of reasons for this. One could be, again, just like with low student engagement, that repertoire is just not of a high enough standard. There's no substance to it, and we are left feeling like we're not being fed musically and emotionally and expressively by the repertoire. One thing that turns us off as conductors is the repertoire being too difficult for us. So if we can't find a way into the music or a way that we can feel like we're being successful as conductors and teachers, then it's really easy for us to become disengaged with the music. And finally, another reason for us to be disengaged could be that the repertoire is too easy or it's just gotten a bit stale for us. There are lots of times in our lives when we're going to conduct a piece multiple times. Hopefully there are many pieces that we conduct many, many times. And each time we approach a piece again, we get new insights and we approach it with a different kind of mentality. We come at it as a different person. But sometimes we can get to that point with a piece where maybe it was too recently that we did it, or even too long ago. We've just done it so many times that the piece becomes old hat and we're not challenged by it anymore. And this can lead to us being switched off in rehearsals and not really feeling connected to what we're doing. The third common ensemble problem caused by repertoire choice is slow rehearsal pace. There's lots of note crunching. Now, this is pretty simple to explain. Basically, if the repertoire is too technically, rhythmically, or conceptually challenging, it's basically too hard, then the rehearsal pace is going to be slow. Same thing if the learning that the repertoire requires hasn't been scaffolded properly. Maybe you haven't put in place the warm-ups or the fundamentals that need to happen in order for the ensemble to be able to play the repertoire successfully. Then we find ourselves just crunching again and again notes, and the rehearsal is very slow. And the problem with this process is that often there are very few students who are actually engaged in the rehearsal process at any one time. Now, there are lots of different rehearsal techniques we can use to engage students if we're kind of note crunching or note bashing with one particular section. But if we do that too often, it can become really slow and lethargic and very difficult to keep everyone's attention. So that's caused by the repertoire generally being too difficult, or even just too difficult for maybe a particular section or a particular player, just not quite appropriate for the ensemble. The fourth common problem that many of us have been faced with is an urgent rehearsal pace, and we're in this mad rush to get to the concert. And this is also caused by repertoire choice. If the repertoire is too difficult for the rehearsal time that we have available, or we have too much repertoire to prepare all at once, or if the selection of repertoire that we've chosen is unbalanced, we can find ourselves in this mad frenzy to get everything together for the concert. And again, this is basically because we have not chosen repertoire appropriate to the amount of time that we have available, and that really meets the ensemble at where they are. Number five, the students can't play the music. Again, this comes down to the same issue that we've heard come up for 1, 2, 3, and 4, which is if the music is too difficult, then we're going to get this issue where the students can't play the notes. Number six, it just sounds bad. We've all been in the situation where we come to our rehearsal and it just sounds bad. And there's no two ways about it. It's just distressing to be on the podium in that rehearsal and hear what is coming back from the ensemble. And this is almost always due to repertoire choice. It could either be, again, as we've said time and time again, that the repertoire is too difficult, so it just sounds bad because we're not getting most of what is on the page, let alone all of that musical goodness that is off the page. But it might also be because the repertoire is just of poor quality, and that's why it sounds bad. Number seven, persistent areas of weakness or lack of skill development. So this is a pretty common issue that I hear in bands, particularly when I'm adjudicating at festivals and Estedfords and competitions, that they may have lots of areas of strength in the ensemble, but there'll be one particular thing that is letting the ensemble down. Maybe it's balance. And throughout every song in the program, you can hear that the students don't really understand their role in the music and the melody is constantly being swamped. Or perhaps there's just no bass line and we can't hear the fundamental and the tonic of many of the chords throughout every piece, and yet they can otherwise play with good rhythm and good articulation and good style. So if an ensemble has persistent areas of weakness or there's areas where they're lacking in skill, that's also due to an ineffective repertoire choice. If you're continually selecting repertoire that avoids tackling or improving an area of weakness for your ensemble, then that's just going to continue to be a problem. If the repertoire has not been selected to specifically address that problem, and also to specifically address your ensemble growing across every area of musical development, then you're going to see these holes happening in your performances. And the eighth and final common problem that we notice in ensembles that can be due to poor repertoire selection is actually poor student retention. So if all of these things we've talked about have been happening, the students are disengaged, you are not very engaged, the rehearsals are either boring or freaky because you're dashing to the concert, or the students can't play the music and it sounds bad, then chances are you're going to have students dropping out of your program, which is not what any of us want. But often, if we really look at it, there are many factors, but sometimes this can be traced back to repertoire choice. In a future episode, we're going to talk about how to select quality repertoire, and I have some particular opinions about this and how to go about this. But you might hear people talking maybe on forums online or experienced teachers, less experienced teachers, about choosing repertoire in order to kind of keep retention up and keep students in the program, and choosing pieces that you think students will like. In the end, this is actually going to fuel all of these problems. Not that we shouldn't choose repertoire that students enjoy, but if we're just choosing bubblegum kind of repertoire for our students in everything that they play, we're going to end up with all of the problems we've discussed, and the ultimate outcome of that is going to be poor retention and students leaving the program. And seeing as we're all in the business of helping people to fall in love with music and really enjoy what they do, then this is absolutely not what we want. So how do we avoid these eight terrible problems that are often caused by repertoire choice? Obviously, one of the biggest issues that we've discussed is the music being too difficult. So what we're going to talk about now is the best way for you to find music that is at the right difficulty level for your ensemble, and that's using the 80-20 rule. And if you use this rule, then you're going to be a long way towards avoiding those eight common problems that can happen because of repertoire choice. So the 80-20 rule is not the rule you might have heard from Tim Ferriss, but rather about the difficulty of music that we put on the stands of our ensembles. So what we want in the 80-20 rule is 80% of the music to be music that is immediately playable by the ensemble, and 20% of the music to be a challenge. You might apply this 80-20 principle to a single piece. So there's about 20% of that piece that is challenging for my ensemble, and 80% is well within their grasp. Or it could be across an entire program. So I've got four pieces out of my five that are pretty well in the wheelhouse of my ensemble, and then I've got one piece that is that challenge piece. And if you were doing it over an entire program, you'd want to make sure that that one piece is 20% of the actual playing time, not one out of five pieces. So 20% in terms of number of pieces, but it might be the longest piece in the program, in which case it might be it's taking up 40% rather than 20%. So how does this work? Why do we need this 80-20 rule? Well, the massive advantage of programming to the 80-20 rule means that if you program music that is 80% within the capabilities of your ensemble, you are making music on day one. Or if you're not making music on day one, then you're making music on day two, or maybe day three at the latest. We are so guilty as conductors of overprogramming and putting music in front of our students that is too hard. In fact, I would venture to say that unfortunately, most of us tend to do this most of the time. And the unfortunate result of that mistake is that we spend all of our time working on technique and note crunching and having all of the problems we've talked about, and we never actually get to the music making, which is the why. That's the why we're doing what it is that we want to do, but we never get there. And when we do that, we train our ensembles to believe that playing music and performing music is about getting the dots on the page, and that is 100% of the process. And what we all know as musicians is that what is printed on that page is just the first 10%. 90% of what the music really is, what the composer is trying to say, what that music has the potential to do to us as people, comes from all that stuff that is not on the page. The heart and soul that we put into the music, the phrasing, the impetus, the emotion behind the notes. So if we are strict enough with ourselves and disciplined enough to actually enact the 80-20 rule, it will actually transform our lives. It will transform our lives as teachers and conductors, because suddenly we are in this space where we are making and creating music. We are in that place where we are talking about how the music feels, what the composer is trying to express here. If we could just play this one note in the phrase a little more strongly, then that's going to completely transform how the music feels in this phrase. Instead of, Johnny, please put down second valve, it's F sharp for goodness sake, when you'd really like to show another finger to that student. Johnny and his F sharp second valve on trumpet is not the reason we got into doing what we're doing. The reason is because music made us feel something, and we have a responsibility to give that back to our students and to our audiences. So this means you have to take a good, long, cold, hard look at the repertoire that you have in front of you. The test of whether something meets the 80 part of the 80-20 rule is if you could put that piece in front of them on the first rehearsal of that repertoire, wherever it is you plan to do it in the year, and they could get through that piece from start to finish without stopping, and it kind of sounds like the piece, and they're playing most of the notes and most of the rhythms, that's an 80 piece. Now, unfortunately, for most of us, we probably have it the wrong way round. So probably if we looked back at all of our first rehearsals, maybe 20% of our pieces could fall into that category. But imagine if you could get 80% of your pieces to be in that category, and how good that first rehearsal is going to feel. Because you can immediately go back to bar 21 and say, okay, let's go from here. Can we make the phrase go to the third bar? Let's hear what it sounds like when we do that. This phrase needs to have more assertiveness to it. Can we be more driving with the energy and the rhythm? That's completely different from, okay, let me teach you how to play the rhythm of this bar again. Oh no, we still can't get it. There's a problem with the internal pulse. Let's do it again. Okay, and all of that is just because we've chosen music that is too hard. The 20% piece of the puzzle in our 80-20 rule, you also don't want to be ridiculously challenging. You want it to be on the edge of what they can play. And this is how we build the skill development. A piece that is just beyond their comfort zone, but you know that they're going to be able to achieve and be successful with in the performance. I've heard quite a few conductors talk about making that 20% piece something that they don't think the ensemble is going to be able to play as successfully as the other pieces in the concert. And that kind of worries me, because if we do that, we're deliberately setting up our ensembles to fail. Now, there's all sorts of reasons why we have to give our ensembles the opportunity to fail and understand that failure is not a bad thing. But I don't think we should be planning for that to happen in a performance, because that's disrespectful to both the ensemble and the audience. And it doesn't really take into account the fact that our players have feelings, and they're not going to feel good if they don't do a good job in the performance. Furthermore, it's just incredibly disrespectful to the composer to say, I'm going to perform a piece of yours, but I don't actually mind or care if we don't actually get everything that you intended or that you wanted for that piece. I mean, it's just really disrespectful on every front. So make sure that that 20% part of the puzzle is something that you know they're actually going to be able to achieve and do really well on by the time you get to the performance. Now, I want to give you quickly two examples of times recently where I made this exact mistake. I thought I was doing really well by the 80-20 rule, and it came back to bite me. So earlier this year with my high school band, which is a variety of students from 7th through 11th grade, we were playing Brian Belmage's March Diabolik. And I thought this was going to be a great piece for the students. Lots of rhythmic challenges, a little bit of chromaticism, lots of tritones, really catchy. They had really enjoyed hearing the recording, which I had played to them as a listening exercise earlier in the year. And when we got to that piece, which I thought was going to be an 80% piece, so I thought that within that piece itself, I didn't think that the notes were going to be too much of a problem. I didn't think that the independence that happens in parts of the piece was going to be too much of a problem. I knew some of the syncopated rhythms might be challenging, and that was sort of the 20%. Well, it turned out that all of those things were challenging, and so March Diabolik was a massive struggle. The internal pulse of the group and their ability to play syncopated eighth notes was way lower than what I had thought it was. And we struggled through that piece. And the concert was one of those knife edge performances where you hold on to your baton with white knuckles and hope that you can get to the end. And despite minor train wreck, we did. But I really learned a lesson in terms of what the ensemble was able to do in that piece, and that one little thing was actually a major challenge for the ensemble that permeated the whole piece. A similar thing happened, same band, 1 year earlier doing Larry Daines with Quiet Courage, which is a really beautiful grade 3 ballad. What I thought was going to be within the capabilities of the students was the lyricism of the piece, the phrasing, the rhythms were obviously not that challenging, it's at a slow tempo, and the one thing that I knew was going to be new for them was playing in concert D flat major. I really underestimated the challenge of playing in D flat major, and so what I thought was just a 20% within that piece suddenly made the entire piece go into the 20 category rather than the 80 category. And we had other pieces in our program that I had put in that 20% challenging category. And then with Quiet Courage kind of tipped the whole program to being just a little bit too difficult because we spent so much time working on intonation, on making sure that they were playing in the right key, so many exercises on getting them to play their D flats and goodness me, the G flats properly and making sure that they're playing in the right key, that all of the good knowledge and skills that they already had for the sustained playing, the rhythm went out the door because they couldn't play in the key. So when it comes to the 80-20 rule, be brutal with yourself. If you have a hint of an inkling that you think a piece is too hard, it most certainly will be. Put it in that 20 category or save it for later when you know that your ensemble is going to have more of the skills developed so that they are actually able to play that piece. So hopefully that's given you some food for thought on those 8 common problems and how they're caused by repertoire choice and how to apply this 80-20 rule to pick music that is going to avoid those problems and give you much more successful rehearsals and concerts. You can find a list of everything we've talked about on today's episode at conductingartistry.com/podcast. And while you're there, be sure to download the free links and check out the other episodes of the podcast. We'd also love for you to like us on Facebook and follow us on Instagram at Conducting Artistry for our Conductorgrams. Until next time, make great music and have a great rehearsal.